Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
The following is a presentation of Podcast One.
What the hell is Brett Favre doing here?
Eric Bolling and Brett Favre on everything from politics and sports to business and culture.
This year has been insane.
I got some advice for y'all. Take 2 weeks off, then quit.
That man right there, number four, Brett Favre.
First NFL completion, and it's to himself.
It's big time and prime time.
That's why Brett Favre is Brett Favre. Yep.
Now it's Bowling with Favre.
All right, here we go. Show 19. Harry, hey, Brett, what's up, brother? All good?
All good, Eric.
All good in the hood, in the Mississippi hood. All good over here in Charleston, too. Got a big show. But listen, Brett and I want you to just make sure you go to iTunes and rate and review the show. Do them both. Rate us. Give us a five. Review us. And there's still an opportunity to win the Luke Bryan signed box set of albums. We haven't picked the winner on that one yet. We gave away the Brett Favre jersey, signed jersey, a couple of weeks ago. So there's still time. Rate and review. Give us your best review, and we'll do that. So a lot's going on since last week, Brett. You know, one of my favorite stories of the week was the Logan Paul fighting Mayweather. It was billed as like, I don't know. I think Logan's probably 60, 70 pounds heavier, bigger. Did you catch any of that fight? Did you see any of the highlights of that fight?
I saw a few highlights. It seemed like they were really fighting. You know, it wasn't staged, I guess. I was telling someone yesterday, I think we're seeing a new trend in boxing. I mean, there's still traditional boxing, don't get me wrong, but you're starting to see just – Chad Johnson or Ocho Cinco, he was on the undercard. I mean,
remember in the 80s, celebrities, when they were starting to lose their popularity, would get in the boxing ring. And I'm thinking of that guy, who was one of the Brady Bunch guys, I think, or one of, and there was a bunch like Greg from the Brady Bunch, and he got his butt kicked in the ring. But that was a thing to like stay relevant. I mean, Logan Paul's he's a good boxer.
He's got some background, I think.
Yeah. No doubt. The two of them, but they're both YouTube. He and his brother, Jake Paul, they're both YouTube stars, right? And then they decided to box, you know, make a little career out of boxing. But what I found odd, I don't know. I saw it differently. I thought Floyd Mayweather could have decked him and knocked out Logan at any time he wanted to. And he just, because it was an exhibition, didn't really count, and they were getting a shit ton of money from pay-per-view, it felt like he kept them in the ring for a while.
Yeah, I don't disagree. That, you know, I actually watched the Tyson Roy Jones fight. Now that one, there were some pretty good blows, but there's no doubt that Roy Jones is a great fighter, but Tyson could have killed him.
Yeah.
And I think Roy would agree to that. But that one seemed a little more staged, or let's don't end this too quickly.
Yeah. You know,
Roy probably was like, hey, Mike, don't go crazy on me now.
Don't crush me right away. Don't destroy me. I think it's interesting to watch. The numbers are staggering Brett. I mean, the pay-per-view numbers, I mean, Mayweather getting, you know, 50, I don't know what the final total for this one was, but I think his last couple of fights, $100 million to fight a fight. Good God.
Hey, you know, the numbers don't lie. It's been a success. People are tuning in. So
Yeah.
You know, like it or not. It.
Yeah. I mean, you can't fake it.
Yeah. You have the freedom to buy it or don't buy it. So.
Yeah. And I guess the IRS is sitting there. You go, okay, you sold $200 million worth of pay-per-views, and we'll take our piece of that. And Floyd will take our piece of your $100 million. I mean, if they're announcing it and they're saying it, I'm guessing it's true.
Yeah, I guess. But maybe history's repeating itself with, you know, these type of fights. And again, it seems to be working. So teach his own. I'm out. Yes. I'm not getting in the ring.
I can't imagine spending $30 or $50 to watch an exhibition fight between a YouTube guy and Floyd Mayweather. I would watch Mayweather fight someone badass, you know, and those are great. And the old Tyson, good God, we couldn't pay enough money to watch Tyson fight, even though sometimes there was only a few seconds into the first round and the fight was over. There's enough buildup and enough anticipation, enough to talk about the next day. So you see Tyson knock out so-and-so in 30 seconds. It was awesome.
Yeah, well, you know, those quick knockouts were quick. And I think people would say money well spent. I'm sure there's some exceptions, but he always did dramatic fashion.
Yeah, there's backlash. People who paid pay-per-view for the Mayweather Logan Paul fight, they're pissed because they thought they overpaid and it was more staged than actual fight. But whatever, to each his own. You watch President Trump speak at all on Saturday to the North Carolina?
I did not. How'd he do?
So he did all right. You know, as expected, he had the usual aired his grievances, but he spent an hour and a half on stage, and a lot of it was forward looking, which is people like me wanted to see. I'd like to see him, you know, talk about what's coming next, so he's going to run, and you know, those things. Those were all good, but the big story of the whole night was he comes off stage, someone shakes his hand, he leaves, and then someone put up a video of him and said he's wearing his pants backwards. And so this thing went wildfire, went viral. You know, it was about a 7-second video that I saw had like 50,000 replays on it, retweets or likes or whatever you call it. I mean, it was a whole thing. And they can't give this guy a break. You can't give this guy a break.
Maybe he likes to wear his pants backwards. I don't know. you know.
Maybe. I doubt it. But yeah, maybe. Maybe it was just the angle of that video. But who knows? I mean, it's just that it just shows you that it doesn't matter what he does or whatever it is. They just like to eat him up on the other side, which will be good for him if he decides to run, because they just, you know, when you live rent free in other people's heads, yeah, you get a lot of backlash, but you're also front and center in the media all the time. You know?
Yeah. Be interesting if he runs again.
Yeah. I don't know. I think if the Republicans do well in 2022 in the House and in the Senate, take him back, I think he'll have that wind in his sail to decide to run for president again in 2024. And if not, then I think he hands it off. And it looks like Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida, would be the likely candidate. The guy's super popular, not only in Florida, but in almost every conservative website.
Yeah.
Every arena.
I like him. I like
well loved. Yeah, well loved. He just says, you know what, screw the woke cancel crowd. He says, this is what we're doing. We're doing it in Florida. If you don't like it, leave. And it's really working for Florida, working for them, working for him. And I think as you pointed out, you thought South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem is a good candidate to represent the ticket.
Well, she'd be awesome. Had a chance to meet her. I spoke to a huge group. They have a big fundraiser every year for the officers throughout the state of South Dakota. And there were several thousand people there. She and I sat at the head table together, and her husband and two kids were right off to the side. Beautiful family. just, she said she loves ride horses. She hunts, she fishes, she does ranch work. You know, what's not to love about her?
She's great. And she's pushing. And I think when Trump was there, the Trump Department of the Interior. Okay. So Mount Rushmore, obviously in South Dakota, the Trump administration, Department of Interior got a 3-year approval for fireworks on the 4th of July at Mount Rushmore. And what happened is this year, the Biden Department of Interior killed it, or Department of Justice, someone killed it within the Biden administration. I mean, to celebrate America's independence from Mount Rushmore with the four most prominent presidents in our, you know, in our history. And they said no for COVID reasons. And Kristi Noem's point was, look, I'm from South Dakota. I live here. I know what's good and what's bad for the state, what's good or bad for the, for, you know, again, this is protected land. It's interior.
Yeah.
And I know it's good. And she said she'd be willing to pull the plug if there's any sort of danger involved at last minute, no problem. But somehow the feds have a better idea what's good for her state than she does as governor.
Yeah, I think she has a pretty good grasp. I remember when she did not accept any federal money. I don't know if you remember that. Basically, all the states were getting handouts. Mm-hmm. You know, some maybe needed the help. And she said, hey, all of our people here work.
Right.
They're working now. They were working before, and they're going to work after. We don't need any money. I thought that was very noble of her.
Yeah. Yeah. It's what's wrong with politics, that people take money, even though if they don't need it, just so they can get it and spend it, waste it, just so that they can get it again next year. That is one of the problems with politics. Julio Jones saga, Brett, you got any insights on that? What's, where's he going? What's he headed? I'm tired.
Right, we'll sign with Tennessee.
Yeah. You like this?
Yeah. Which is an interesting acquisition, because Tennessee is a big time running team. You know, Derrick Henry is a tremendous back.
Yeah.
You know, they just steamroll over just about everybody.
Yeah.
So you would think Julio Jones would not be the feature player. And quite frankly, he's probably okay with that. I think he's got a better chance to win not only games, but going to the big show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, they're quietly one of the good teams in the league.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now adding him, you know, the question is, I don't know Julio. I think he's a tremendous player, I mean, I 32, I think he's, you know, people want to say, well, he's on the declining end. I don't believe that. I think what it's going to do is it's going to really open up the running game even more. And if not, one-on-one with Julio Jones, if I'm the quarterback, I'm taking that opportunity every time. So
you look at it like, you remember the glory days, the Cowboys, when they had Emmitt Smith, had Michael Irvin, they had Troy. Triple threat defense has got to be a little bit confused by all of it, right? I'm guessing.
It's not so much confusing. It's pick your poison.
Spread too thin.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Right.
If you play Tennessee with Julio Jones or without him, your number one focus has got to be stop the running game and Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. That's easier said than done. How do you do that? You commit more guys to the run. How you play strategically, maybe you bring your corners inside, you play them as run defenders, but also underneath pass defenders.
Right.
Now you got Julio Jones and he can take the top off. Not to mention, he doesn't have to be wide open. He's so big, physical. You can be right on him and still not make the play.
Yeah, he's a playmaker. I'm not saying Ryan Tannehill is Troy Aikman, but I think you can compare Emmitt's days and it with Derrick Henry. And I don't know. You think Michael Irvin was a better ball? Well, I shouldn't say better.
Michael was a tremendous player.
Tremendous player. Yeah. I mean, I won my fantasy football league with Michael Irvin one year.
Yeah, he was. Look, it was either three or four years in a row, our season ended in Dallas in the playoffs. I think a couple of times was a championship game, and the others was in the playoffs. So I remember it vividly. And it was like, there was no way to stop everyone. So if, say you stopped the running game, that meant Alvin Harper or Michael Irvin was taking the top off with big plays. Mm-hmm. What's his name? The tight end. I'm drawing a blank now. Great player from
Moose Wyoming. Johnson.
Well, Moose was. I was thinking of the tight end who I can't believe I'm drawing a blank here, but Moose was that guy that kind of held the glue together. Wasn't flashy. Didn't run for a lot of yards. Got token carries. Got token catches. But it was always at the right time. Got the first down. Got 8 yards on the completion. Jay Novacek probably got overlooked by everyone in the draft because he didn't look the part. Man, could he play?
Yeah,
he could play. And so Troy was the catalyst. I mean, he didn't throw for a lot of yards, not a lot of touchdowns because of Emmett and their run game, but he never missed. So it was like when the opportunity was there, he made the most of it.
Yeah, they had a great offensive line too.
So I think Tennessee is building themselves, and maybe not modeling it after Dallas, but I see it that way.
Yeah, could be as good in the defenses too. Rob has this on our sheet. This is good. So apparently, someone tried to break in. Delta flight from Los Angeles to Nashville, Tennessee, made a surprise landing in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Friday afternoon, the passenger attempted to break into the cockpit. Unruly man. It was basically what happened. I saw this. This guy was banging on the cockpit door. A flight attendant and a bunch of passengers took him down. Rob, you have some audio on it?
Well, actually, no, because the audio is just basically mumbled airplane noise and him screaming in the background.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Well,
did he give a reason?
So he just saying, this plane has to land this plane. He was yelling, land this plane. I think the guy was just panicking. He was just on a yeah. panic. But my question is, you know, what as a passenger, do you get involved, right? I would jump up and help subdue this guy. And they zip-tied him.
Based off the history over the last 20 years, hell yeah, you step in. You know, the alternative, I mean, if you assume that, you know, what happened 20 years ago is about to happen again, you have no choice.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night. And welcome to T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast. The most fun you'll ever listen to while you're folding your clothes. Now, let's get this straight. This is not your average podcast. T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio is super fun, super crazy. It's pretty much an in-your-face conversation. That's the good thing about us. We don't do interviews. We do conversations. All of my guests, all of my co-hosts, we chill. We drink. We play games. We have the song of the week. We have the creative curse word of the week. As long as you're having fun as our guests. Speaking of guests, each week I'm going to go through my whole contact list and dive headfirst into the world of music, gaming, exotic cars, tech, strippers probably, doctors probably strippers that are only stripping so they can pay for tuition to become a doctor. You never know. My wife is a certified bartender. She'll make you a drink while you're here. We'll get you drunk and make you play VR after. It's a lot going on, but that's what it's all about over here at T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast. See you soon, baby!
Oh, did you see where John Rahm was?
Yeah. Had to,
you know, here's my question. You're outside.
Yeah.
It's you and your caddy.
That's it.
Why can't you keep playing?
I don't get this at all. I mean, so set up the audience. He had a 6-stroke lead in a PGA tournament, and he gets pulled because he tested positive once. He had tested negative several times prior, right, Brett? Days leading up. He tests positive once. He has no. He's asymptomatic. It's just him. He's not. The crowd's not in play. Nothing's correct. In play. If his caddy signs off on it, what the hell wouldn't they let him finish the tournament and win?
I have no idea.
You see the number? You see what the purse was to win that tournament? $1.7 million.
Yeah, I'm sure incentives were even more. Like, you win, you know, whoever his club deal is with, and his shoes and his apparel. You know he's got incentive clauses in there that if you win a tournament, you get a bonus of $2 million or whatever. I'm sure what he lost from the purse, you could triple that in incentives that he lost.
And also some exemptions of having to qualify at some other majors, perhaps. I don't know what they were, because I know Mickelson got a five-year exemption at the Masters, so he doesn't have to qualify for 5 years, and he'll get to play.
And you know, the other thing is his ranking.
Yeah, right.
You know, it may propel him, because he's up there in the top five, top ten all the time. It may have propelled him to number one.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I guess it's some sort of written into the contract, which, again, legal lawyers F everything up usually, where if you do test positive, it's a new world, you know. This is a new – something we didn't have to worry about 2 years ago.
Well, you know, I don't know this for certain, but I talked about it several shows ago about Mississippi, how we're pretty much going about business as usual. Sporting events, people are, I mean, if you want to wear a mask, you wear a mask, but you're not required to.
Yeah.
If that tournament were held in Mississippi, would he have been asked to step down?
I don't know. I don't know. He threw the towel in pretty quickly. If you saw the video, they kind of pulled him aside for a couple of minutes. He walked off. I would have stayed there for a little while, pushing back. But $1.7 million in his pocket. And as you point out, all the other incentives, man, that was big.
Yeah, cost.
Jeff Bezos, the other guy that wants to go to the moon. Apparently, he's going up. He's going into space, and he's got two seats, extra seats, two available. He's bringing his brother as one, and he's auctioning off the other empty window seat to go into space. And I think, Brett, I think I heard this is only about a 12-minute flight. 3 minutes are your weight, you know, your the gravity, you have no gravity, you're weightless without anything, without oxygen. You don't need oxygen. So for 3 minutes, but there's a 12-minute flight. You got a window seat looking in, down into Earth. And I believe I saw the last bid, the high bid was, could it be right? $45 million.
Wow.
I'd like to do it though.
For a 12-minute flight. And then you get up high enough to see Earth.
Yeah.
Then you descend back in and land.
But you're also doing it with, you know, you're doing it with a billionaire Jeff Bezos, and you know the first flight that he's doing this, and you know this whole
what kind of aircraft is it?
You know, a space.
Has it been tested on this?
I think they did. I think they've sent unmanned. They've sent it up several times without people in it. And now they're putting people. It's the beginning. And you know, we know Elon Musk wants to bring people to Mars, actually, but he's going to start bringing people into space too for millions of dollars.
I assume the cost is pretty high to do this flight, like fuel, prep, et cetera. But I mean, $45 million, is that what you said?
I believe so. I could be wrong. Rob, have you heard that number?
I have not heard the exact number, but I know it's a pretty – it's up there. It's something like that.
It's this was a couple of days ago when I heard that too. I could have misheard it, but man, if it was $45 million a couple of days ago, I can't imagine what it's going to be now.
Well, there's not that many people who can afford to pay that.
You know, here's a story. I don't know if you know Greg Olsen.
I know who he is.
Great tight end. I was a Panthers tight end and others. He's his son, TJ. He's been living on a modified heart for 8 years. And he just received a successful heart transplant on the road to recovery. And that's just something that's awesome.
Yeah.
Young man.
Yeah. Good. Teacher.
Yeah. Really good guy. We were in Vegas last weekend.
You told me the streets were terrible.
Unbelievable. It was just like, no one had swept the street. People were sleeping on the streets. People were, I mean, there was just, I don't smoke marijuana. I did in college, tried it in college, hated it. it was the smell of weed up and down the strip. And again, I walked a lot. I walked 11 miles one day, 10 to two other days I was there, and all up and down the strip. And it was like just nonstop marijuana. It's, I don't know what's going on in that city. I think a lot of our cities are feeling that too, the same way right around now.
I was in Vegas a couple of years ago, and you're absolutely right. It is just the pungent smell of marijuana everywhere you go. You can't avoid it.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's legal there.
Yeah,
it's legal. Yeah. It is, but not to smoke out. It's legal like everywhere else where it's legal. I think you have to be in your own private home. You know, you're not allowed to be in a bar or restaurant doing it in public. But I guess cops have so much on their plate that the last thing they want to do is start busting people for weed now. Too much going on.
But, you know, we've been to Vegas a few times. And when I went, it was kid friendly. I mean, you don't take kids in to gamble, but you can go to shows, you can walk the streets, and it was really nice. I mean,
yeah, you don't want to bring a young kid to the streets of Vegas to the strip right now just because of what's going on in the strip. I won't get into that. Hey, Brett, you're a big movie fan. You can go back to the movie theaters now that COVID is lifting.
Yeah, we've gone a couple of times.
You've been already?
Yes, we've been.
Well, what are you seeing?
The most recent one we saw in the theater was Spiral with Chris Rock and Samuel L. Jackson. You know, you think of Chris Rock, you think it's funny. It was far from funny.
Really?
I like
Chris Rock playing a serious role?
Yeah, it plays a serious role. And it's kind of it's a thriller. It's got a little, a nice little twist to it at the end. I liked it. Deanna, she was not real sure if she liked it. She didn't think she'd see it again because it's a little gory. But I'm going to tell you a movie we rented on Amazon Prime here at home, Born a Champion. If you haven't seen it, you have got to see it.
I haven't seen it. What's the premise?
Well, it's based off of around MMA, but there's more to it than that. I don't want to give too much away. Follows this guy who, Sean Patrick Flannery, who's the actor, and he was tremendous. Was so believable. This was back when it was based before MMA was UFC as we know it today. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was still in its infant stages in popularity.
The good old days. Those were badass days, Brett. Those were no gloves. Those were anything goes back in those days. I remember Butterbean, your friend, you met Butterbean, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember when he was just winning everything and someone headbutted him? And that may have been his last fight. They split his forehead open. It was on pay-per-view. It was just like the pulse of the body. It was insane. Those are badass days of.
So remember that. Born a Champion. Rent it. Watch it. You'll love it.
All right. Before we go, you know, we started the show and Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies were just about to make that big move up. And I just have to point out, because truth and transparency, I haven't sold any of my Bitcoin, and it's just getting clobbered over the last couple of, about a week or so, but including on today, again, this is Tuesday, just took a beating. Bitcoin got down to like 30,000 again. So we started when we were trading around 34, went all the way up to 64,000, and it it got back to where we came from, Brett. And then Poncho is breathing a sigh of relief, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know much about Bitcoin other than what you have told me. But it'll go back up.
I'm not selling my Bitcoin and my Apple stock. Those things and my gold. Those are the things I'm going to own for eternity.
Well, when we have our buddies from Cameo on, they had to postpone. Was it last week? I think we had Martin and Steven, the co-founders of Cameo. That's going to be a hot stock. You know, they were valued at $1 billion maybe 6 months ago. I can't wait to, you know, I bring them up because you're talking about stock.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, why didn't we think of that? You know, how many times can our listeners say, why didn't I think of Uber? Why didn't I think of Cameo? Something so simple, but just is an enormous success. Their stock could be off the charts.
Well, I love talking to him. I love talking to Gary Vaynerchuk last week. Was great. Entrepreneurs and people who not only think of it, then they have the guts and the fortitude to go out and do it and try it. You know,
yeah.
Put your own money up and you try stuff. And those success stories are awesome to talk about. But
absolutely.
Yeah, so we'll get them on. They're friends of yours, and we'll do that. We'll do that. We'll do that soon. All right, my man, we good for the week?
Yeah, we're good.
All right, brother.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll see everyone again or hear everyone again next week. Thanks, everyone.
Coming real, it's the next episode.
What about Brett Favre?
Follow the show on Twitter for the latest news and links to all our social media channels.
Bowling with Favre is executive produced by Ali Brito and Rob Jenners.
This has been a presentation of Live by Live's Podcast One.